I see this method as being a very good, like once, maybe twice. If someone's really, really on their recovery practices, maybe they can swing in another time through the year. But I see this as like a very rare opportunity in your macro cycle to really just push the gas pedal and be very time efficient with it. This might be great for the more, I would say, intermediate to advanced user who has really good movement proficiency, but maybe doesn't have a ton of time, right?
Set go. Smart handle, smart bar, smart training. There you are. Customize it right. AI form advice. Superset will show you what it's all about. It's a total workout. Welcome to the Superset Podcast. This is Crystal O'Keefe.
And this is Tom O'Keefe.
Oh, yeah. It's episode 62.
I was going to say it because you didn't.
I know. Sorry.
No, I don't know what to say because you stole my...
Thunder stolen.
Oh, son of a bee. So we should probably start by saying that this week's episode is a little different because yes. I'm not in the interview due to popular demand.
No. You were just gone.
The day you were recording, we were recording, you said something horribly offensive to me, and I said, I will never work with you again.
And yet here you are.
Well, I came around.
Yeah.
I calmed down.
Yeah. Saw reason.
You came to me on bended knee.
Oh boy.
And apologized profusely.
Oh my God.
For saying you thought the Monkees were the second greatest rock band of all time. And I was like, I suppose we have so many years together.
You're going to let that go?
Sunk cost.
Wow.
I'll stick it out.
I'll tell you what. That is romance. That's some romance. Just a little insight into our marriage 2 days before our wedding anniversary, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, was that in 2 days?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
So, but no, I was traveling for work. It, the way the schedules worked out, I think I was literally on a
you
plane.
You were on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no way to make that happen.
Yeah. So, so anyway. You're flying solo.
Yes. Yes. I hope I did okay.
I'm sure you did. You've done interviews without me all the time on your MetPro Method podcast. So I have nothing but faith in you.
Aw, thank you.
So what, pray tell, do you have in store for people this week?
We're going to talk about the news of Tonal. There's some things that have gone on since we last recorded. So we're going to update everybody on that. We're going to update everybody on the new content. And the interview that we have this week is with Coach Tim Landicho. So for those of you who are interested in or are already doing Ascending Muscle Mountain.
And I am.
Yes. So... Maybe before we jump in to that interview, we can talk a little bit about your thoughts about that as well, Tom.
So I had just gotten done doing House of Volume, I think, again.
Yeah, so, yeah, you did.
So I thought, oh, this will be lesser than.
Easy.
Yeah.
That was in quotes for those of you not watching.
Yes, those were air quotes, in case you can tell. And it certainly is not as much volume as House of Volume, which makes sense because House of Volume says it's the most volume, blah, blah, blah. But it is a lot more than I thought it was going to be having just come off of House of Volume.
Yeah. So Tim talks about like the best type of workouts to combine this with. He also talks about maybe some things that you might be training for. You might want to stay away from this one. So I think it's super helpful for people to kind of get an idea of what they're in for. And also, I mean, it's Tim, so it's also just a lot of fun and deep. Like we got deep in a conversation.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I will have to listen.
Yeah, you should.
It'll be new to me.
Yeah.
So
you'll know if you're doing Ascending Muscle Mountain right.
Yes, if I have ascended it properly.
Correctly.
Yes. So before we get to all that shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Google is YouTube. Ah, they changed it and I can't keep it straight. TuneIn, iHeart, Spotify, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While we're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. It's super, super helpful for the people who are coming along behind you, trying to figure out if we are worth their time or not. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/supersetpodcast. And don't forget, you can watch all of these episodes over on YouTube at youtube.com/theclipout, the name of our other show, but everything lives in one place because it's just too many logins.
Yeah,
we're just not that focused. So at least I'm not.
I know you're not.
Yes, I think everyone knows I'm not. So anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
We shall.
Look who's talking about Tonal.
Since we last spoke, Tonal hosted their first ever live in studio Tonal Talk.
Yeah, they took in the New York studio on February 1st. They celebrated the end of the 4-week Fast Track Evolution Challenge. So they had this whole panel and it was hosted by Coach Woody, and it included all 7 of the coaches and all 10 of the VIP Tonal community members. So that was pretty exciting. For those of you who might have missed it, you could like enter to win to be a VIP community member at the beginning of that challenge. Also, they gave us some fun details about the 4-week fast track that I was kind of fascinated by.
Yeah, like they gave us some insight as to how many people were participating.
Yeah, 25,810 members in January took that 4-week fast track. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Those are big numbers.
I think this is interesting where it says 16,566 in level one, or the beginner level.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's any indication perhaps as into how many Tonals were sold around Christmas time, you know, or people got them.
Yeah. Maybe even the last, like the second, the last third of the year.
Right.
You know, because by the time you get it and you get a chance to check it out, and now you're starting over. But I also think this applies to people who maybe hadn't worked out for a while. So I think you're grabbing those as well.
Yeah.
Like this might have been a great program to pull people back in. If you can't do the math or don't feel like doing the math, that's 9,244 people that were enrolled in level 2, which was the intermediate/advanced. I found this part fascinating. Basically, 82 million pounds lifted in level 1 and 148 million pounds lifted in level 2. Given that there were almost double the amount of people in level 1, that is fascinating.
It is. It shows you the difference in progression. Like not to shame the people in level 1, but to show you if you stick with it, how much more weight you will lift.
Well, and you see it all the time too, because like you're almost at 8 million pounds. Like any day now, you're going to roll over to 8 million pounds. But the duration between how long, like it took a long time to get to 1 million.
Right.
It took a little less to get to 2 million. But man, after that, it's just been like, bam, bam,
after
bam.
5 million, it feels like every 2 months I did another million pounds. Like it's just, and I'm sure it's not quite that fast, but it sure feels it. Like it took, like you said, forever to get to 1 million. And it took slightly less than forever to get to 2 and then 3. But at some point you kind of hit critical mass, no pun intended. And you just really start like, I mean, it is unusual at this point for me to do a workout that doesn't do at least 20,000 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you recently had a workout because you just finished House of Volume. On your last workout of House of Volume, you went over 30,000 pounds in one workout. That's incredible.
Yeah. And that's the first time I've ever done that. I'm sure there are people listening that are like, oh, I do way more than that.
Oh, sure. Sure. It's all relative, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's the thing. That's what I find so fascinating about that, because like when I do 10,000 pounds in one workout, that's like a really intense workout for me. Like right now, I'm only spending about 20 to 25 minutes a day in it. And that's about 3,500 pounds for me,
right?
Which still is exhausting, by the way, for me. And I just can't even imagine that. Like I literally did a tenth of what you did in one workout. That's crazy, because I'm spending like a third of the time. So that's like when you do that math of how much more volume you're lifting per workout on any kind of program, that's just mind-boggling. And it really does put a very incredibly strong light on the consistency, because, you know, you started using the Tonal after I did, but also I have had huge swaths of time that I haven't even used the Tonal,
right?
Or I've been very focused on just running or just cardio.
Yeah, like you're not using it because you're doing other things, not because nothing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I always come back to it because I really love it, but I also, I struggle to stay with it because if I'm, like right now, I'm training for a marathon, so it's really not in my best interest to be doing something like House of Volume, even though there's part of me, and like, there's part of me that wants to, and that like wants to be super competitive about it, but that's not where I am right now. And it's, you gotta like focus on your goal, and that's not where that would be for me. But your consistency, years now of 5 times a week at least working out, like it's really, really showing at this point. Like the culmination of that is just incredible.
Yeah. And I will say, as much as I still don't enjoy working out, I also don't want to lose ground, so like that is certainly motivating me to continue.
Well, it's definitely working. I also, kind of going back to this 4-week fast track, I thought that we should also mention that the average strength score increased 2.39% in level one and 1.28% in level two. And that makes sense to me. I know that seems like the opposite of what, but again, you have people who are beginning, right?
They've got a lot more room for improvement.
Exactly.
And so the people in the beginner level, that if maybe you're looking at how much more weight the people in the advanced or intermediate levels are lifting and feeling down on yourself, well, look at how much faster your strength score is increasing versus theirs. So like, you know, because I will say, even though you lift more weight and that's kind of cool to see, like at this point, my strength score goes up a lot more slowly.
Which also makes sense. You're going to see a lot more return on your investment of strength when you're first starting off, because there's a lot more to gain as you get better and better. There's smaller and smaller gains.
It's like when you're trying to lose weight, like that first month, you feel like you're dropping like crazy, mm-hmm. you know? And I have to say, even though I just said my strength score goes up slowly now, I don't know what's going on lately.
Yeah, I know.
But like lately, my strength score has just been like, every time I get done, it's like boop, 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 boop. It adds like 3 or 4 points. I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
But that is because you started really working on your volume about 6 months ago. Maybe, well, it's probably been a little bit longer, like 8 months ago now.
Yeah.
You really started doing those volume workouts. So to me, that makes perfect sense because you started, it always takes the 6 month average, and you're now entering that 6 month window. You're seeing
the
that
dropping off the lighter, the lesser than, quote unquote.
Exactly.
And yeah,
exactly. So when people see their strength score make a major change after a workout that makes no sense, keep in mind, it's the last 6 months it's looking at.
Right.
And I know that that can be very demotivating because mine, since I did take a huge amount of time off, like now mine's like dropping, even though I'm working out every week, because it's now looking at the last 6 months where I didn't do as much. So now I have to watch my strength score drop. So it all is relative though.
Yeah, for sure. So we should also talk about pregame prep drops.
Well, it's just pregame prep.
Oh.
It dropped.
Oh, that's right. That's what that sentence means. I've always hated the word drops.
Oh, really?
For things like that. Yeah, like when new album drops, like I've always hated that verbiage.
Oh, that doesn't bother me.
It's just a pet peeve of mine.
Oh. Shocking. So just before Super Bowl Sunday, Tonal released they released a workout called Pregame Prep.
Now you're trying to not say dropped.
It was a football inspired hit session, and it was led by Joe, Woody, and Akeem, and it included a squat to press in the full body burning touchdown block. And I don't know if you caught this on social media. I thought this was fun. Before the big game, Tonal also released a strongest cities report.
Yeah.
And Kansas City was football champions, yes. But the data showed that San Francisco earned the highest median overall strength score over Kansas City and the highest median core strength score. Funny enough, Milwaukee led the way in the lower body strength score with San Francisco a close second. However, that does not matter because Kansas City still won. I act like I care. Yeah, I don't really care at all.
What did you give?
Not at all. Not at all.
Although I think as tonal people, we're supposed to root for Kansas City, or Kansas City, because Travis Kelce has a tonal.
That's true. That's true. Which means...
which means Taylor Swift has probably at least walked by a tonal.
Taylor Swift has been in the vicinity of a tonal.
Yes.
So we know that.
So if all of a sudden she starts getting jacked... think you know,
mm-hmm.
secretly using the tonal.
Mm-hmm. And she works out on Peloton too, Taylor Swift. I thought she did. Now I'm second guessing myself. Yeah. But one of our guests.
Yeah, because didn't she do how she trained for the Eras tour is she would.
Well, she ran, but I don't recall if she ran on a Peloton treadmill, but I know she did run. And she sang
the whole show,
her whole show while she was running.
Yeah.
And we had a guest that was actually one of Taylor Swift's backup singers, backup dancers, right. Like a dancer behind her, however they say that.
Yeah.
And she uses Peloton too. So, and it's just cool to see how these little interworkings happen within the fitness world.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was cool. I thought that was fun that they had, that Tonal had this whole game and they like, you know, made it really fun getting everybody involved with the Super Bowl, which is good because what do people do? They just sit around and eat all day while they wait for the game. Then they sit around and eat while they watch the game. And then apparently, according to our son, goes to Andy's and has ice cream after the game.
Right. So Tonal has added a guest coach, one Rachel Hicks.
Yeah, this was fascinating. So for those of you who don't follow Peloton as closely as I do, you might know that Peloton and Lululemon came to kind of an agreement, a partnership, if you will, where
a truce.
Yeah, where Peloton is now going to be providing all of the content for the Lululemon studio, which means that some of the Lululemon studio instructors no longer had a home. And so that's really cool that, and I don't know when Rachel Hicks left, that could have been before all of that, but she was available and Tonal hired her as a guest coach. So that's pretty fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And she's also a Juilliard trained actress and former gymnast. That's fun too.
Absolutely.
New Tonal content.
As always, there is tons of new content, and we will start with Quick Fit Activate Your Core with Coach Akeem Emmons.
I love this because it's short and sweet, but it's all about the abs. So you're going to get your core worked from all different angles, and you're going to do a circuit of moves twice. So first, you're going to focus on the form. Second time, push the endurance.
Okay. You also now have Sore Muscle Soother with Coach Shelby Hicks.
Yeah. So this is for if those moments where you have really sore muscles after a tough workout. And this particular workout is going to help you loosen up those muscles. It's slow paced. It's full body yoga. So you're going to gently move from pose to pose. It's going to help you increase that circulation, which is a huge factor in reducing the soreness.
And also from Shelby, we have Yoga for Runners.
Well, I am a fan of that because there are very specific muscles that need to be stretched after running, and you will be able to get to all of those in this yoga session. It's going to lengthen the muscles in your calves, your quads, your glutes, and your hip flexors, not to mention releasing the fascia and your Achilles and IT band. Very important.
There's also Post Ski Stretch with Coach Ash Wilking.
Yeah, for those of you who live near actual mountains and have real ski vacations, you can bounce back from a long day on the slopes with this full body stretch routine. It's going to decrease soreness in your back, quads, and hips.
Yeah, I was thinking like, or you could travel to, but I guess if you're traveling, you're not at your tonal.
But you can do this one. It's body weight, so you can do it on the Tonal app.
Oh, okay. It's all body weight. So you can do that anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take that back.
Yeah, you better.
Retracted. Withdrawn, Your Honor. There's also the pregame pump with Coach Akeem Emmons, Kendall Wood, and Joe Rodonis.
Yeah.
This is what we talked about earlier, right?
It is, okay. Yeah. So if in case I didn't give enough explanation for it, it's a bunch of plyometric moves, compound lifts, and then you're going to also get a calorie burning touchdown dance. I love it.
Oh no, dance cardio.
Your favorite.
My favorite. And we also should let you a little sneak preview of things to come.
Yeah.
Some upcoming programs. Ultimate Arms with Coach Akeem.
So this is awesome because it is a hyper-targeted four-week hypertrophy program just for your buys and tries. So that's coming very soon. It's going to be launching on March 1st. I'm excited about that. That would be really good for me to combine with my running as well. I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, it would. I was just thinking like, oh, I wonder if I could do that. But like, I don't know that I want to do 4 weeks where I only do arms,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
That's, like that seems like I would be letting a lot of other things fall by the wayside.
I agree. You always need to get leg day in.
Yeah. But I guess I could do, this is probably, I mean, I'm just, no, it says, okay, it's a 4 week. It doesn't say how many days
it
a week.
It does not.
So I could just do one off leg days.
Oh, you could,
on my
totally.
Rest days,
yeah.
So I just not be in a program.
You could do a one off leg day and you could really round things out with a one off full body day. Boom. Perfect. Love it.
Look at that. Well, maybe I will. Look into that.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to see more about it when it actually drops.
Yeah, we've got a couple
when
weeks.
When it releases.
Yes. So, and also coming up, if you want to, if you want some upper body work, but you want Tony Horton, well, you are in luck.
Yeah, Tony Horton is going to be back mid-March. It's going to be all about supersets, drop sets, tri sets to maximize that time under tension. And it's going to be focused on building your arms, back, and chest. It's called Upper Body Inferno. Did you say that, what it was called?
I did not. I was about to say it because I realized I didn't actually say the name of the program. So somebody goes looking for it, they're going to be like, that dumb bastard never said the name of the program. So... Luckily,
I got you.
I got you here to make up for my dumb bastardness. So, so I guess you could just almost roll right in from one to the other.
You
so
could.
If you really want to get your guns ready for summer.
Yeah.
So
checking in with the Tonal community.
Joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube, Tim Landicho. Tim, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Crystal.
Well, I'm really excited to talk about this new program you have going. And of course, just catch up because I love to stay in touch and know what's going on in the world of Tonal.
Yeah, I'm super stoked to talk about this program and we'll do all the catching up.
Yay! All right, so let's get to it. You've got this new program, just came out yesterday. It's called Ascending Muscle Mountain. Tell us all the things.
The most condensed description that I can give of this is Ascending Muscle Mountain is a 4 week Custom by Tonal program. And just as a sidebar, if anyone's not familiar with what Custom by Tonal is, Custom by Tonal is pretty much when you're doing the workout, gives you the feel of almost like you have a custom workout. So it's different from our Smart Linear format. Smart Linear is, let's just say it's a name for like the coach is like just doing it with you the whole time. It's linear because it's like the coach is moving with you from start to finish. And Custom by Tonal kind of gives you a little bit more of this feel where you can choose whether to see the demo or not and all that stuff. And the coach is really there in the warm up and cool down. And I'm giving you, hey, here's a heads up for what you're tackling today. Here are the main things I want you to keep in mind. The feel of it from an energy standpoint is a little bit more like, hey, let's have this pep talk. Here's what I want you to know. Go crush it. There's going to be things that are dripped out throughout the workout. That's kind of what it is from a format standpoint. Now, in terms of the actual program itself, it's 4 weeks long. It is a German body composition training inspired program. If anyone's not familiar with German body composition training, it's actually a simple, straightforward format. It's basically a bunch of supersets where you are pairing an upper body compound movement with a lower body compound movement with very minimal rest between the two. The goal is that you accumulate a ton of work over the course of the workout. And then the minimal rest and the alternating upper lower allows you to keep working at kind of this very elevated heart rate while managing your overall fatigue. If I'm going from, let's just say, a bench press, and then I do a quick 30-second rest into a lower body compound. Let's just say, for example, I'm just making stuff up right now, It is a squat. Probably I was like, maybe I should like give something from the actual workout, but we're here. Right? And let's say I do that, right? It's allowing my heart rate to stay elevated, but because I'm doing lower body now instead of upper body, my upper body actually gets this little break while my lower body is working, but heart rate is still staying elevated throughout. Now you multiply that by a number of supersets throughout the workout. You can see how this work very quickly accumulates. Some of the big benefits are of this style of training are one, something that's called peripheral heart action. And very simply, it's basically what I just described, where it's the alternating back and forth between upper and lower directs blood flow alternating from upper and lower. Again, managing fatigue, but keeping that heart rate elevated. And then the other thing is that it causes lactate buildup, which is basically just like way of saying like, yes, this is going to burn a lot. And that's going to stimulate a higher level of human growth hormone release, which creates a great environment for fat loss and body recomposition. That's kind of the nuts and bolts of Ascending Muscle Mountain. The last note that I'll add is from a weekly standpoint, the workouts actually stay the same in terms of like the exercises you're doing. So it's very straightforward. I really wanted this to be a minimal learning curve. It's like you learn things in the first week and then you're not really learning anything new. The main ways that you progress are we're actually adding sets and volume each week. Week one, I would consider like the main learning week. It's like, hey, here's a simple format. Let's get to work. Weeks two, three, four is like, all right, we're doing the same thing, but now we're just literally just doing more work. Here's an extra set. Week three, here's extra sets here, here, here. Week four, here's extra sets here, here, here. That you're really increasing volume from week to week.
Wow. That's why I guess it's Ascending Muscle Mountain because it keeps
exactly. That's exactly what it is.
I got it.
Yeah, your volume will be ascending over the course of 4 weeks.
Okay. One of our listeners and long-term friends, Stacey Revere, just started this program yesterday and she reached out to me with a specific question for you because she happened to know that I was interviewing you today. I might have told her. And she said, how did you decide on German body composition training versus weight training method plus cardio, like in the 2020, that's going to have muscle gain, but also get fat burning results. And I would add to that also versus like metabolic weight training. How did you decide on that for this? Like, what's the thinking that goes into that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would actually consider German body composition to kind of be a little bit under that metabolic umbrella, mainly because of just the high metabolic demand of the format. And I think this is such a brilliant question because it shows me that you're really thinking about like developing multiple qualities in your training, right? So that's cardiovascular, that's hypertrophy, right? And this, I love this because it's just like, yeah, like I really want to know like what's the difference. I think one of the big things is that German body composition training, like just the method itself, while it sounds simple, it is pretty taxing. When we look at the macro cycle of the year, if anyone's not familiar with the term macro cycle, we're really just thinking about like, think of those two aspects of the word, right? Macro, so big picture, and then cycle is like the cycle of your training. So that's, if we zoom out and looked at the year length of your training and all the different programs and like mesocycles or like smaller cycles that happen within that year, German body composition training and like the big proponents of it, Charles Poliquin, he's a big one. He basically recommends like not doing this that frequently throughout the year in your macro cycle because it's so taxing. And you know, we mentioned that like the rest periods are so short within the workout. You're like literally just moving and moving and moving. And Charles Poliquin, he actually talks about how like when you're in a German body composition training program, it is crucial that you're monitoring your recovery. You're very on your like recovery practices, sleep, nutrition, you're eating enough calories, protein, all that stuff. To bring this back to the question, I see this method as being a very good, like once, maybe twice, if someone's really, really on their recovery practices, maybe they can swing in another time through the year. But I see this as like a very rare opportunity in your macro cycle to really just push the gas pedal and be very time efficient with it. This might be great for the more, I would say, intermediate to advanced user who has really good movement proficiency, but maybe doesn't have a ton of time, right? Well, let's go back to like the whole strength training and cardio separately. To me, that's something that I do in my own training, like kind of as my standard, right? Like, so I'll have my stuff on Tonal, I'll have my more traditional strength training stuff. And then depending on like where I'm in my year, I'm going on a run or I'm doing like a circuit, throwing a circuit together, something like that. That to me is a little bit more meat and potatoes. And if we're being honest, like I really like that. It's a lot more sustainable, but the trade-off there is that there's just a little bit more time required. When I'm thinking of just the overall intensity of that sort of combined strategy, it is a little more sustainable than German body composition training, which like if somebody is doing German body comp training, I would say that separate, like have your strength training program and then like have a separate like conditioning and cardio thing. That separation is not really required when you're doing this 4-week thing, because it is such a highly metabolic demanding way of training. I would also add that like in Ascending Muscle Mountain, so it's a 4-day per week program. There's one day in the week that's just dedicated to cardio and core. That's really complementing this stuff. So if somebody's doing German body composition training, they don't need to do like their separate cardio stuff in addition to this. In fact, if this is someone's first time ever doing German body composition training, I would actually recommend that they just stick with this program, at least for this first go around, just to see, okay, how is my body adapting to this style of training? Again, it's demanding. I would say to boil it down, the big trade-off, it's really the intensity and efficiency of it. It's just way more efficient, but because it is so intense, I know this doesn't like really sound great, but as long as I preface it with the like, yeah, in your macro cycle, we're not doing it very often. As a training method, it's not the most sustainable type, which is why I like to give the nuance of this is for the more intermediate and advanced user. And it's for someone who's like really looking to push themselves and gather, you know, when you're really pushing at your edge for this short sprint of time, you're going to gather a lot of learnings about yourself, like a lot of learnings about your stress response, about your recovery, and just about like what you can do within a 4-week program.
Okay. Somebody like myself that in theory, I'm going to run a marathon this year. I'm running a lot. That may not be a good program for my training cycle because I'm already getting so much cardio is kind of what I'm hearing. Obviously, it depends on each person, but that's one of the examples I was hearing. Am I interpreting that correctly?
That's a great example. Yeah, I love the nuance there. I would say like it really depends on where you are in your marathon training, right? Like obviously the closer you get to your marathon training, the more I'm probably going to be like, yeah, I would say steer clear from this. Like running is going to be kind of like your bread and butter. Strength training is meant to complement that. I would say that if there is anyone, because we have these people in our community, right? And I think it is really important to speak to those folks who love just like, even if it's not for the cardio effect, maybe like to run for mental health, right? Maybe like to bike for mental health. If there is someone like that in our community who's listening, which I'm sure there are, and you're like, you know, like really want to see where I can go with this German body composition training. And I want to keep this activity that I love, not necessarily for the training effect, maybe more so for enjoyment. And I don't want to compromise both. One, I totally hear that. And I definitely have things like that myself too, where I'm like, well, from a training standpoint, not the most optimal, but I just like this. So can I do it? If there's anyone listening like that, I would say that a way that you could really work around this, and again, I would say like definitely be mindful, stay aware of like your body and your recovery and stuff. But if you just like make the cardio stuff a little more zone 2 centric, and meaning it's going to put you more in a recovery place versus like pushing a higher zone, higher heart rate zone, where the recovery demands are going to be a little higher. Basically, what I want you to be thinking of is in your overall week's stress demands, if you're going to do anything on top of this, I would rather have it be on the side of facilitating recovery, lower intensity, facilitating recovery from this tough program rather than adding more for you to recover from, because that'll just dig a deeper recovery hole for you. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Again, yeah. I'm just putting myself in this position. I'm thinking, okay, if I was just doing zone 2 all week, I was just doing heart rate training, this would probably be okay. But if I'm like doing sprints and I'm trying to work on my interval training, maybe that's not such a good idea with this particular program.
Bingo, you nailed that. Yeah. chef's kiss. I love that.
Awesome. Okay. That was a great explanation. You talked a lot about how you're pushing limits in this program and that this is kind of for people to kind of figure out where that edge is. What kind of tools do you use for getting comfortable with that being uncomfortable?
Let's break this down into a couple categories, because I like to think, especially with the more intermediate advanced user, right? Because that's really the person I'm speaking to in this program. I think with that sort of person, maybe even more so than a beginner, I would really encourage this sort of categorical thinking. Just as if we zoom out on a larger picture scale, when you're going into a really intense program, it's important for you to have a repeatable system in terms of your recovery. And like a repeatable system, meaning that you're not a beginner anymore. You're not just throwing random stuff at the wall and saying like, oh, maybe I should like not go out on this night. Maybe I should like, and this is really more of like, okay, you're consistent with your training. That's already a given. I'm not coaxing you into consistency. It's like, how can we just rinse and repeat things that are baked into your life that you can rely on this to be like, yes, I can show up to my training consistently and still be able to push hard and know that I'm staying well within my limits still while exploring that edge. The first category I would break this down to is just the basic physical bucket. In terms of tools, definitely making sure that I'm eating enough calories. If you're someone that is aiming to be in a calorie deficit, this is tricky because obviously I can't give like individualized advice over a podcast, but I would say if you're in a calorie deficit, this is a fun balance to strike. I would actually encourage you to stay at the highest calorie level possible while still being in a deficit. Sort of that best of both worlds. How fueled can I be while in a deficit? Because you will need all of that fuel to just literally just be pouring back into your body. Definitely be keeping protein intake high. The sleep and stress management piece is going to be huge for this. So this was actually largely inspired by a program that I did in 2019. Actually, in hindsight of like all the training I've done, I would say this is probably the toughest training that I've done. And in that period of time, it just held me to such, granted that program I did, it was a 16-week one. So If you think of like four of these ascending muscle mountains and then four of them that just built off of each other back to back to back, it was just such a high level of accountability in terms of sleep. Obviously, I think that's the most obvious one, aiming for your 7 to 8 hours. The stress management piece, I think on top of sleep, is going to be a huge one. And I think this intermediate advanced level, this is really where you're going to see, okay, the nuances in how I manage my stress is going to be huge here. Do I have practices built? That doesn't have to look the same for everyone. Is that a meditation practice? Is that a breathwork practice? Is that simply, even if it's not those things, is that taking like a 10-minute nap somewhere in your day, right? Even if that's sitting in your car and just closing your eyes for 10 minutes, it's really at this level. Again, we're speaking to someone who is not struggling with consistency anymore. You're already there. And so because of that, this is where we really start to see the nuance of like stress is going to build up, not just in terms of the training program, but also in terms of your everyday life stresses, right? And it all adds into the same bucket. How can we just add these like frequent clearings of those stresses so that we can keep adding room to that bucket, that our training can pour into that bucket. Hopefully that makes sense from that standpoint, from a purely physical standpoint. I know some of that's obvious, but that's just like the basic stuff that cannot be overstated, especially with a program like this. I would say if we move on to the emotional mental bucket, I think we can create a little combined bucket here. I think this very much ties into the physical stuff. For me personally, anytime, and I'm actually in this stage right now with my own training, outside of like what I teach on Tonal, I'm just talking my own physical goals. I'm at this place in my training right now. I experienced this in this program that I did in 2019, where I literally started to see, okay, if I'm not setting clearer boundaries in my relationships, if I'm not being clearer about what my yeses and my nos are in terms of commitments, I can very easily, this is all going to come back to the stress management piece, right? So funny, I'm like going out with friends this weekend. I'm having like kind of core group of friends here in New York City. We just like, we're all super busy, kind of this young professional sort of bucket. And we just like, we're having dinner on Friday and then we're going to go out after. And so like, to me, I always value that type of thing. I'm like, we haven't all gotten together in like 3 months. Super stoked for this. And I'm also entering into it with like a little bit of a mindset of, okay, what are my negotiables and my non-negotiables here? Am I setting a drinking limit for myself? Am I setting a time that I'm going to go home by, right? And I think throughout my year, I'm kind of looking at over the course of my year, where do I tend to push and pull a little bit in terms of these boundaries, even in terms of like stuff outside of training, like whether that's going out or relationships. Like I can definitively tell you that in the summer, I actually athletic, but definitely a party girl, which is my brand. I definitely adjust my training a little bit. I'm still training. I'm going out more. It's summer. It's Pride Month. I'm going on vacation. So I adjust my training accordingly. Right now, my training is kind of like I'm ramping up that dial a bit. So I am being a lot clearer about like, what do I value about this thing that I'm going to do? I value the quality time. I value getting out of my normal routine a little bit. But what parameters am I also setting for myself to make sure that I'm staying on track with my goals? Another one that I would say with the emotional and physical bucket, this one is huge for me, is really staying aware. And maybe this kind of goes with like the meditation piece. I've been a big meditator. I've meditated now for like going on 8 years pretty consistently. Yeah. And so I think for me, there is that level of awareness on all fronts. So physical awareness, what's happening in my body, emotional awareness, mental awareness. So one of the things that happens, I think people don't clock this initially in the beginning of their fitness journey. They're like, okay, this is a physical thing I'm doing, right? When we really consider the fact that like all stress is stress on the body, as someone gets into this intermediate advanced state, something that a lot of people don't consider is like, oh, this actually might have an impact on my mood. This actually might have an impact on like, because I'm pushing the limits of my stress response a little bit, what am I noticing about my body when I get to these states? Do I tend to be a little bit more irritable? Am I noticing that actually winding down for sleep is harder because my stress response is just ramped up? So these are things for me that in the emotional and mental buckets still very much connect to the physical because it's all connected, right? It's your nervous system that's governing all of this. And so to me, staying aware, when I did this program in 2019, this 16-week one, I actually kept a journal for myself. I think there's still value, even though Tonal tracks your metrics, tracks your volume metrics, your power metrics, range of motion, all of that stuff. I still think there's value in keeping some sort of journal where you can track more qualitative things. How's my quality of sleep? How's my patience at work? How's all this stuff? And I think for you to be able to track that stuff, if this is your first go around with this level of intense training, it's also a great thing to take to other advanced programs that you do. But now you're building, we're getting into the realm of you're building a body of data for yourself of how does my body tend to respond? How does my mental state, emotional state tend to respond when the stress level starts to build a little bit? Because that's going to then inform me so that I can be smarter about it in the future. So hopefully that makes sense. You know, at this stage, we're playing a different ball game than someone who's just getting consistent for the first time. We're at a point for this type of user where we do have to be a lot more mindful about this stuff.
It makes perfect sense to me. And I think about myself, when everything, you start off a program like this and you think calendar's clear, I have my parameters in place, like you think you're ready, and then life throws a curveball because life will. And then it's really interesting because like there is this part where you have to kind of look inward and figure out like how to push through, because it is so easy to be like, I need to dial this workout back. I don't have time for this because of XYZ happening in my life. And that's where all of the things you just talked about are so important, because that's where you can really look at how can I keep getting my goals, but still do all the obligations in life that I need to. And if you're not aware, if you're not paying attention to all the things you talked about, it's so easy to feel like you're doing something wrong. You're not doing a good enough job. You're a failure. That's not the case. It's supposed to be hard. And that's why you're having a hard time. And then when you throw life in, you never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Such an important point you bring up, because that actually is like, now you got me going, right? If we just think of training again, right? Again, let's zoom out. Let's really make this macro level. my goal for myself, for everyone I care about, for everyone on Tonal, for all humans, is I really want you to be training for the rest of your life, not because it's like punishment or whatever. If we just think of training like it's brushing your teeth, right? It's an act of self-care. I'm taking a shower at the end of the day, right? It's just a thing that you will do. I hope you're brushing your teeth for the rest of your life. I hope you're showering for the rest of your life. Same thing. I hope you're training for the rest of your life, right? When we look at that big picture view and it's like, okay, I literally want to be training until my old age, then we can break it down into seasons and really understand, all right, yeah, there's going to be seasons where life takes precedence. Maybe I am taking care of a parent a little more, and maybe there are really intense demands on my time. Maybe I have a really young kid. Maybe I'm working an extra side hustle, whatever that is. There might be seasons, and I'm definitely familiar with like pre coming to Tonal and like coming through the pandemic. There were some weeks where I was working like 70 hours per week, like between building my own business and still being in the gym and stuff. And there are some seasons where your training scales back. Doesn't mean you stop training, but there are seasons like that where I look back and I'm like, okay, Tim, my training's not exactly where I would love for it to be, but there's just stuff that needs to get done, but I'm still going to train. I'm committed to still training. So how do I adjust the training accordingly, right? That's one kind of season we have in our life in this grand scheme of things. The other one is there are seasons. It's time to freaking push. That's where I am right now. That's where I was in 2019. And I think the reason why I keep bringing the awareness piece back is I think it is so important, especially at the intermediate advanced level. Once again, consistency is already, that's a level one thing. We're not talking about getting consistent anymore. It's how do I manage everything while I'm being consistent? And to me, there is this important element of coming back to your values, coming back to what's important to me right now in this season of my life. Between you and me, Crystal, like I've decided right now in this particular season with my own training, I've decided that my fitness goals are just more important than other things. For example, going out, like my priorities are going to be different in the summer, but right now going out, I'm going to enjoy and be fully present in this quality time with my friends. But I've just decided, yeah, I'm not going to turn up as hard as I would like in the summer, right? There's other things too that I'm saying no to right now. And I think what you're saying is so crucial with a program like this, when you're really choosing to put yourself on the hook to do something that's kind of at your edge, it's really reevaluating what are my other values? What are my other priorities? And then what game of trade-offs am I going to play? It doesn't have to be forever. It could just be for this sprint, but what game of trade-offs am I willing to play? And how do I stay aware of that as I go?
Yes, well said. I would like to hear more about what you're working on right now. Like what habits are you trying to create? Where are your goals going? I heard that you're on a big weight gain journey. Is that correct? Am I
a little bit? Yeah. So for anyone listening, if not in the know with where Crystal heard that, we did this Facebook Live last week, very special Facebook Live from the Tonal Studio. And yeah, Woody was kind of the one who moderated, and we had some Tonal members who were in there as guests. It was super fun. Very much felt like I had the vibe of like a TV, like talk show. Woody did a phenomenal job. But yeah, Woody asked me that question. And to put very simply, my goal right now is very simple. It's just to build more muscle. And since July, August, I have put on roughly 6 pounds. I'm actually really pleased with that. My training right now is geared towards hypertrophy. There's still a performance focus, because I need to perform for my jobs. I'm still thinking of things like staying conditioned enough, staying mobile enough, moving well, feeling good. But the parameters around the training are very hypertrophy focused. Yeah, from a training standpoint, it's very simple. I'm loving it. How I feel with my training right now is this is the most fun I've had training in a long time. And I've been training for a minute. Pretty stoked about where things are at right now. As far as like outside of actually training, my focus right now, I'm really trying to simplify. It's pretty simple. It's sleep. I'm just working on my sleep game, because anybody who knows, if you know, you know. If you're like really challenging yourself, like there really is no game changer like getting good sleep. It's everything right now, from like, what are my sleep routines like? It's understanding kind of my energy flows throughout the day and understanding, okay, how do I make it so that I'm not like buzzing with energy by the end? And if I am, how do I take myself down to like get to bed at a good time? Some of those stress management practices I described earlier. And yeah, for me, that's really the big one. Sleep's always been tough for me. I'm really dedicating the entirety of 2024 to tackling that one thing, but there's so many facets to that one thing, right? There's the time management piece. There's the choosing my priorities piece. There's the getting my sleep environment right piece. And so because there's so many pieces to it, it's not like, oh, here's like a 3-week habit I'm going to tackle. I'm like, no, 2024 is the year that we really nail our sleep. So
the year of
that's
sleep.
Where I'm at.
The year. <Right. laughs> I'm really curious because 6 pounds in that short of time is a lot. And for people who have not ever had to specifically gain muscle, that may not seem like a lot, but it is a tremendous amount. What does a typical day of eating look like? And understanding that anybody who's listening, this is not necessarily going to affect you. You can't necessarily follow the same program. I'm just curious because I feel like it's probably a lot of food.
Yeah. If we were to just break down my profile, if I was my case study, if I was my own client, right? I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, okay, he's like young, active guy who lives in New York City. He walks a ton. His job requires him to move a lot. And then on top of that, he's training and like he wants to put on weight. Let's get some effing food in this guy, right? So first off, I really do make protein. Like I'm going to sound like a broken record by the end of this. Like you're just going to hear protein, like get hit your protein targets. But like to me, that really is the staple of like everything, right? Because you could have like, you could be in a caloric surplus or a caloric, you could be hitting the calorie number that's necessary for you to gain weight. But if you're not prioritizing protein as sort of like the centerpiece of that, now we're questioning what's the quality of that weight gain, right? What's the composition of that weight gain? How much of that is going to be muscle? How much is that is going to be fat? Protein's really the centerpiece for me. I'll say I've tracked macros before pretty extensively in the past. I have experience doing that. But I'm going to be honest, like right now, there is just so much happening in life that for me, the thought of like weighing, measuring all that stuff just feels like a freaking chore. And I'm like, if I do that, I just know that I'm going to have a really sour relationship with food. I'm going to resent this whole process. But thankfully, the thing with experience is you really like understand patterns better. Right now, if we just take the protein piece, I just know that with my body weight, and right now I'm at hovering at around average 185 to 186 pounds. For me, with my protein goals, I'm aiming for roughly 175 to 200 grams of protein per day.
That's a lot.
And so for me, right, for me, without having to weigh and measure stuff, I use this sort of like hand portion. I just kind of eyeball hand portions. If I took a palm sized protein, like my palm size serving of protein, so whether that is chicken thigh or like ground beef or whatever it is, like a palm sized portion for me is going to be roughly 20 to 30 grams. If we just average that to 25, now we zoom out to the total protein grams goal of like 175 to 200. I'm now looking at 7 to 8 servings of those palm sized portions throughout my day. And so when I think about it that way, it actually becomes less overwhelming. Like from a numbers standpoint, somebody might be like, oh my gosh, that's a lot. But from a logistics and planning and creating a system standpoint for my nutrition, it actually simplifies it because what I'm thinking of now is just taking this spread of 8 palms of protein. That could also be a scoop of protein powder. That could be a couple eggs. And I'm really just checking the box of like, okay, did I get 8 of these throughout my day? I'm kind of spreading that out throughout my day. Breakfast is usually 3. Dinner is usually 2. I'll have a shake or a snack in the middle of the day. That's maybe another 1 or 2. And then like in the evening, I'll have a shake before bed. And I can look at that even just now. And I'm not overwhelmed talking about that. I'm like, okay, I got my protein bases covered. And then the rest of that is just filling out the rest of my calorie goals with carbs and fat. Right now, I'm sort of at a 1-to-3 ratio of how much protein I have and how much carb fat combo I have. Right now, I'm aiming for like between 3-to-4 combined carb to fat. So if I'm having like a serving of protein, I'm aiming to have between the carbs and fat combined 3-to-4. And if that's a larger meal I'm having, so like breakfast, having 3 servings of protein, that means that I'm having 3-to-4 times as many carbs and fat. So that's a lot of rice. I'm usually my breakfast is like, I'll have 6 eggs, a palm-sized portion of ground beef with chicken sausage. So that's about 3 palm-sized servings of protein right there. And then I'll have that with like bell pepper, kale. I'll have that with a ton of rice, a glass of orange juice, probably a bagel. And then I'm usually tallying the carbs, fat portions as I'm building. And I'm like, okay, there's a lot of food, but we got some goals. So we're going to hit them.
That's amazing. And that's why people can't look at what you're eating and assume that's how much they need to eat, because we're all in different areas of our lives, men, women, yep. different sizes, different everything. But like, yep. that is probably like the amount of food I eat all day.
I'm aware that my breakfast is probably like a small child would be like, oh my gosh, like I like would not eat that in a whole day, right?
There's nothing wrong with that. That's where we're all different. And I guess I really just say that to kind of drive home that works for you and your goals, but like every single person is different. And I just want to yep. point that out. I know we kind of got off track because I wanted to hear more about you, but I'm also wanted to make sure before we wrap up, is there anything else about ascending Muscle Mountain that we haven't covered that you want to make sure people know about?
I think we've really covered like the logistics of it. What is it about? What are the nuts and bolts? I think we've covered the purpose and strategies for how to manage, which by the way, I really love that question. Like what are your tools for managing while at your edge? I think we covered all that. I think the last piece that I would add here, I know we talked about the physiological purpose, but for me, a lot of the personal story and the why that I'm bringing to this, I just want to share this because I do think that this is important for someone to connect with. Maybe someone is in this place themselves. When I think of any time that I've done training that has really pushed me to my edge, yes to the body composition changes, yes to gaining muscle or burning fat or like having a faster metabolism, all that fun stuff. Yes to all of that. But to me, the bigger purpose of this is there is nothing that builds your self-trust quite like repeatedly going to your edge. Learning to manage your mental state when you're there, learning to manage the internal conversations that happen when you're there, learning to manage outside of the training in your day-to-day life. It's like we talked about the boundary setting, coming back to your values. If we really took all of that and put it like put a nice bow on it, that's building a relationship with yourself. That's building trust with yourself. That is building this solid sense of holy I got this, like this sense of like, holy, I got me. When I think about just the macro level of what I do as a trainer, yes, it's to help people get in shape. Yes, it's to help them hit their physical goals. But I really see all of this as sort of just a way of ultimately developing this deep sense in humans of I can face challenging things and not crumble underneath it. I can face challenging stuff. It might be hard, it might be comfortable, but I trust myself. This might be at the edge of my limit, but I trust myself to get through it. And that's really the mindset and the internal state that I want someone to develop that I believe carries way beyond what you do at your tonal with your training and really like you take with you in your day-to-day life. I talk a lot about how like training is a tool for helping you live your best life. I'm not just talking about like, yes, I want you to be able to move pain-free for as long as possible. I want you to be mobile into your old age and like all of this stuff. I want you to be able to meet the demands that life throws at you. This is part of that. One of my favorite books, and I'll close with this. One of my favorite books that helped me actually around, it was that same year that I did that program, that 16-week program I talked to you about. That year, I was struggling with a number of things. So I made a series of choices that in hindsight were not great, kind of left me in this, I would say financially scarce energy. Anxiety was very high. I do credit that time for getting me started with online fitness business because I was like, ah, fuck, I need another revenue stream. And then which led to me now being at Tonal. So ultimately all worked out. But there was just a number of things there. And I read this book. A mentor put this book on my radar at the time. It's called The Upside of Stress, transformative book. And about a year ago now, when I did my first month-long challenge with Tonal, community challenge, I actually gave this as an optional reading because it was a lot of in line with a lot of what we were talking about. It was Mental Health Awareness Month. And I was like, hey, if you're looking for an extra resource, read this book. It's called The Upside of Stress. And I would say the biggest thing that stuck with me from that book is she describes two different mindsets. Well, first, her thesis is as a society, we're conditioned to think that stress in and of itself is a bad thing. And my thesis is that it's not. Stress is a necessary thing for humans. And it's more so the way we relate to stress that determines its impact on us. If I'm perceiving my perception of something can shape how it literally impacts me on a physiological level. And she breaks down these two responses. She calls it the threat response and the challenge response. And the threat response basically encapsulates the state of mind where you're looking at a challenge and you're like, oh my gosh, this is too much. I'm going to get consumed by this. It's literally, if you were to put it like in sort of like evolutionary animalistic terms, it's the mindset of prey that's about to be eaten. We're going to put body language to it. It's like this cowering in fear. I'm screwed. That's a threat response. I'm under threat and I'm screwed. The other response she gives is the challenge response. The challenge response, the funny image that comes to mind for me is one of my favorite movies of all time is Space Jam. Have not watched Space Jam. You need to watch it. The OG version from the 90s. At the end, where like Michael Jordan is facing down all these aliens who like look like they're on steroids. They're like five times his size. And Michael Jordan is just standing there calmly, firmly, hands on his hips. He's staring up. He's like in this ready to go stance and he's just assessing the competition. But there's no sense of cowering in fear. To me, that's the perfect encapsulation of a challenge response. A challenge response says, yes, there are scary things in front of me. Yes, there are things that I maybe haven't handled before. And I have the resources and the capabilities to rise to the challenge. I might not be someone yet, as of this current moment, who can rise to the challenge, but I can become someone who rises to the challenge. And there's this sense of growth mindset in there. There's this sense of, I am not done. I'm not screwed right now. When she talks about the threat response and the challenge response, she literally talks about how in a threat response, your body will change accordingly. Your blood pressure will be higher because your body is preparing to form blood clots in the face of like, if I get damage to my body right now, we need to clot ASAP, right? That's going to change what our blood pressure is like. She gives like a very clear example of like how that sort of perception influences your physiology versus a challenge response actually energizes you and actually puts you in a position to think more effectively, right? I'll close out with this. The reason why I love a program that really pushes you to your edge in a controlled environment where you very much have a say over your own process is I ultimately see this as you building a challenge response that you can take to the stuff outside of training, outside of fitness that you encounter in your everyday life. And to me, that is the crux of building powerful humans, building high performance humans, building humans who are ready to create their best life and are ready to take the obstacles in front of them and say, you know what? Not only is this in my way, I'm actually going to use this to my advantage to create the life of my dreams. And that's why I think a program like this is so powerful. Yeah, I guess I'll leave with that.
Yeah, that's, woo, let's go kill something. Let's go tackle some challenge. Tim just got me pumped up. That was awesome. Before we let you go, where can people find you if they have questions or want to follow along with your journey?
Yeah, Tonal, obviously, if you can go to the Explore tab, go to coaches, you can find me there. You'll find my workouts and my programs. And then you can also find me on Instagram. Instagram is Tim Landicho, very straightforward. I do think this is the year where I start to go cross-platform.
Ooh.
So as those things appear, I will definitely let you know. But right now, Instagram's the main place. Tim Landicho, find me there, say hi.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
So I guess that brings this episode to a close. Until next time, where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/CrystalDOKeefe. They can find me on all the socials and the Tonal Leaderboard at Clip Out Crystal.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/SupersetPodcast. And don't forget, you can watch all of these over on the YouTube. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, keep lifting.
The Superset is made possible in part by support from Tonal.